Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Evangelist Missionary Terry Rogers, filling in for your host, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. Announcements. Our School of Ministry classes conducted on the first and fourth Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. via Blog Talk Radio has ended until September 2020. For more information, please contact Dr. Maria Carey at 309-750-7584. Come and hear what the Word is saying to the church. Tune in to hear a continuation of exciting lessons for the month of July. The theme for this month continues to be operating in the fruit of the Spirit. The topic for this second week is, please don't take my kindness for weakness. Scriptures, Ephesians 4:32, and this is the King James Version. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Galatians 5:21-23, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have always told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5:21-23, and this is the new translation, the New Living Translation version. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Gentleness. Gentleness is the quality of being kind, tender, or mild-mannered. Softness of action or effect. Lightness. The state of having only gradual inclines. Gentleness, you can also see kindness. What is kindness? Kindness is the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. An instance of kind behavior. Meaning that you treat everyone the best that you can, no matter who they are or how you feel about fairness and respect. Did you know that it is important to be kind because it makes you feel good about yourself? Doing things for other people, helping them with anything, just makes you feel warm that you've accomplished something. If you want respect, you must give respect. Let's get into the lesson. The second of the three fruit most directly associated with personal human relationships is kindness. The translator of the King James Version rendered this Greek word as gentleness. Even though gentleness is an aspect of being kind, this choice does not adequately describe the quality the original word applies. When Paul illustrated how love acts, patience leaped into his mind first: love suffers long. 1 Corinthians 13:4, immediately follows, he writes, kind, giving the impression that love and kindness belong together to such an extent that we can conclude that without kindness, no act is truly done in love. To add another note, kindness means to treat everyone in the way that you want to be treated. It's not about who the person is, how they look, or how they act. Ephesians 4:32, and this is the King James Version. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Kindness, though, implies a more active expression of love towards God and fellow man. Both patience and kindness are bound in the one quality, love. Those who provoke us may never notice patient love, but patient love may reveal itself in acts of kindness so that even our provokers are positively impressed. Kindness is such a rare quality these days that when someone is kind, it has a good chance of making the news. God is our model of kindness. Jesus vividly illustrates the kindness of God in his instructions in the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he make his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? For if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:43-48. The Bible has many statements reminding its students of God's unending and overflowing kindness to his creation. Jesus says in Matthew 7:11, If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Paul and Barnabas tells the Lystrans, God in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Acts 14:16-17. God's gracious gifts are just that, gracious. They are unearned and unmerited by who have willingly sinned against him, desecrated his beautiful creation, and either ignored or neglected his awesome purpose. Despite this, his gifts of life are nonetheless unforced and abundant manifestations of his kind nature. He does not return evil for evil. He does not bear grudges, burn with resentments, or plot to get even. Rather, he freely gives even to evildoers while he patiently works towards the completion of his purpose. It has always been this way. Despite the Israelites' manifold in sins after their rescue from Egypt, he continued to provide food, water, and protection all the way into the promised land. Once in the land, they continued their provocation for about another 700 years before he finally drove them into captivity. All the while, he provided for them so abundantly that Israel became a very wealthy, albeit ungrateful nation. Psalms 78:37-39 records this of Israel's relationship with God. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. His great manifestations of turning the other cheek and his supreme kindness blessed instead. He withheld until he sent his Son into the world to be the payment for our sin. As John 3:16-17 states, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. None of God's kindness in any way means he approves of the conduct of sinful man, but rather it is a revelation of his nature. Men's wickedness, he has benevolent feelings towards them. He earnestly desires their happiness and is sincerely devoted to helping them make a successful life. The whole world lies in wickedness. 1 John 5:19. And mankind is unable to extricate itself from it. Part of God's solution is to give a blessing, a gift, by which all the sins of humanity can be met and paid. Think of it, how much good fruit will be produced because of it. Can any kindness be greater than this? Absolutely not. But it does set a clear standard and pattern of conduct for us to exemplify in our lives, so we can too be seen as children of God. We often think of gentleness as tenderness or even softness. But biblical gentleness is more than that. It involves having a humble heart and being kind towards others. Some dictionaries define gentleness in part as being mild-mannered. We are polite and restrained in our behavior towards others. Those who are gentle are humble and thankful towards God, having a peaceful mind and submitting wholly to his plan. Prods, the Greek word translated gentleness in Galatians 5:23, means to submit one's strength in a posture of meekness. Prods is translated as gentleness, consideration, humility, and meekness. One part of gentleness is to calmly accept God's judgment regarding a situation, even if that judgment results in personal hardship. It is humility towards God. When we submit to God, we will also be gentle with others. The gentleness in the New Testament is closely related to wisdom and spiritual growth. As part of the fruit of the Spirit, Gentleness is an attitude given by the Holy Spirit and is distinctly from the pagan act of gentleness in that it insists in personal sanctification, the attitudes behind loving others, and testifies to the love of God. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26, and this is the Amplified Version. The servant of the Lord must not participate in quarrels, but must be kind to everyone, even-tempered, preserving peace, and he must be skilled in teaching when wrong. He must correct those who are in opposition with courteousy and gentleness in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and be led to the knowledge of the truth, accurately understanding and welcoming it, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Galatians 6 and 1, this is the King James Version. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. 1 Peter 3 and 15, this is the King James Version. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ye ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The above scriptures all use gentleness to describe the ways we are to correct or teach others. We are to submit our strength, including the strength of our convictions, to God's wisdom. We are to teach God's point of view, not our own. And we are to accept that God's action towards ourselves and others are the right actions, even when human wisdom thinks otherwise. In our teaching approach, we should be respectful towards others. We don't forcefully share truth or correction, browbeating others into accepting it. Instead, we share truth in a spirit of love. Ephesians 4, 13 through 16. Ephesians 4, 13 through 16, and this is the New Living Translation. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown away by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Gentleness is not weakness or lack of conviction. It does not mean that we aren't strong in our conviction or that we don't stand up for what we believe. Rather, it means that we value the persons we are sharing truth with and thus treat them as a person made in God's image. If anything about us is offensive, it should be the message of the gospel itself, not the manner in which we deliver it. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 7, this is the King James Version. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. Titus 3 and 2, this is the Amplified Version. To slander or abuse no one, to be kind and conciliatory and gentle, showing unqualified consideration and courtesy towards everyone. When we are filled with the Spirit's fruit of gentleness, we will correct others with easiness instead of arguing in resentment and anger, knowing that their salvation is far more important than our pride. 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25. We will forgive readily because any offense towards us is nothing compared to our offense against God. Offenses he already forgiven. Matthew 18, 23 through 35. Will despair as the goals become less about ourselves and more about preaching the gospel. Philippians 1, 15 and 18. John the Baptist was a fiery preacher, yet he evinced true gentleness when he said, Jesus must become greater, I must become less. John 3 and 30. Put on kindness. The very fact that he urges us to dress ourselves with these virtues signifies that none of us have arrived spiritually. All of us are flawed, deficient, and weak in some respect. As we yield and develop these virtues, we must be forbearing and forgiving towards our brothers on the basis of Christ's example for forbearance and mercy towards us. The enabling power of God's Spirit is already within us, or this exhortation would be in vain. It can be done if we will choose to humble ourselves and act when we become aware of the need of a brother or of the church itself. Calls upon us here not merely to act, but to do it with affection. In all cases, we must let our heart dictate to our hands, to let our most tender feelings encounter the miseries of those in distress. Just as Christ did in descending to clothe himself in clay, we need to let our feelings be at hand and readily touched that we might open our hands wide in help. This world has hardened us. We have seen so much arrogance and cruelty that God warns that at the end, people will be without natural affection. 2 Timothy 3:3, that's King James Version. We are this end time generation. We must go a long way even to start to be like Christ in kindness. But we can do it. Perhaps we can liken beginning to be like this, to learning to swim by just jumping in. Kindness is something that we must develop. And we can do it because God has already enabled us by his Spirit. This fruit is especially sweet tasting and a major factor in producing unity. Never forget God's character. Take the example and this promise he has given us in Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. I'm going to share how to show kindness, 9 ways to show kindness, and it don't take no time to do it all. 1, smile. Smile, it can make others feel better and you'll feel better. 2, call your mom, a parent, or a friend every now and then. That's fine. 3, pay someone younger than you a compliment. There's nothing wrong with complimenting others. 4, let someone go ahead of you in line. 5, talk to the manager. 6, rush to open the door for someone. 7, buy flowers. 8, start a hope revolution. And 9, send an unexpected note. You know, an unexpected note can go a long ways. Let us pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. First and foremost, God, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us for any sins we have committed, Lord God, willingly and unwillingly, Lord God. And then forgive us for those that we did knowingly, God. And then, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. You are truly the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of peace, Lord God. You are majestic. And we love you on today, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for the fruit, Lord God. Allow the fruit of the Spirit to reign in and out of our lives. Then, God, we thank you for your love and kindness, your tender mercies that endure forever. Keep us, oh God, from pettiness. Let us be large in thought, in word and deed, as we look into our past with its pains and fear. May we see our hurt through the eyes of love. Dear God, if we cannot be brilliant, let us be kind. If we cannot change the world, let us inspire just one other to do so. Let us be known for kindness, for it is the greatest glory. God, you told us in your word, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. Help us to be kind so that we can draw all men unto thee. Teach us, God, how to respond in love and not in fear. Teach us what it means to speak with conviction without using words as weapons. Teach us to carry both strength and gentleness, to offer kindness even in our anger, to listen before lashing out. Remind us that kindness is not a nice thought for the grandmothers, but a natural outcome for every image bearer who loves you, God, and who life that we live for the Spirit. You have given us a spirit of love, kindness, gentleness, self-control, Show us what it means to offer these gifts to our neighbors, teachers, families, and leaders with confidence, conviction, and a sound mind. May your kindness continue to be our steady filter and our sure companion. Now, Lord, continue to touch Dr. Carrie, Lord God. Touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Give her the strength and endurance that she needs to do your will. Look on every listener, God. Continue to look on the bereaved families, Lord God. Look on the McDonald's, God. Give them what they need to hold on to you, God. And then, God, we give you all the glory, God. We give you all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, where your host is Dr. Maria Carey, and sitting in on today is Missionary Terry Rogers. Contact Dr. Marie Carey at 309-750-7584 just to send some encouraging words. Tune in on next week for another exciting lesson, still dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. Enjoy the remainder of your day.